Does your organization have a communications committee? How about an official newspaper reporter? Or maybe photographer, videographer? Stay tuned. We're going to talk about the importance of those types of people within your organization and getting the word out. All that and more coming up on Wells Tech. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech, a show where we talk about technology and ministry and where those two meet. This is episode 297 for July 9th, 2013. I'm Martin Spriggs, and joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I am joining you as usual, but as a little bit different time of day. It seems that we shifted our recording time to the afternoon this week, and that might be to our advantage or disadvantage. We'll see. I'm usually pretty sharp in the morning. We'll see how I do in the afternoon.
I can't imagine a time of day where you're not sharp, Sally.
Might have to keep me awake. I don't know.
Well, the reason we had to switch is, as many of you know, as you can see from the background, those of you that are watching, we have new offices here, and sometimes with new digs, you have some challenges, and one of the challenges we had this morning was, well, the air conditioning wasn't working. So as the temperature was increasing outside, I didn't want to treat all of our viewers to watching me sweat for an hour more than I normally do. So we decided, well, let's postpone until we can get some air conditioning going. And Sally, you were good enough to accommodate.
Yeah, I feel for you because, boy, I love my air conditioning. So I'm glad that it is all straightened up and you're not melting anymore over there in Milwaukee.
Perfect. Good news. Conditions are good for a podcast.
Excellent. Very good.
So what are we talking about today, Sally?
Well, we are back on our ebook kick. That's our summer series. This summer, we're writing an ebook together about website content. We spend a lot of time on the podcast talking about the mechanics of doing websites. So we thought this summer would be a good time to focus on the real hard work of websites. And that's all the great content that builds a great website. And helping our congregations to have some ideas and samples and that kind of thing. And to that end, I guess maybe I could share my screen and give you a quick look at what we're building for you on the website. We have a page dedicated to this summer series, and you can see all the different topics we plan to cover all the way through September 10th with our summer series. And then we have the ebook information. So if you'd like to get a copy of the book that my good friend Martin is happy to write for you all throughout the summer, then come on over here. You can get it for your Kindle. You can get it in EPUB format that works in iBooks, or you can get a good old PDF. There's even an embedded version of the PDF here on the site. And each week, as we bring out these new chapters on the podcast, the ebook gets updated. So if you've downloaded it, you might want to download a new version to have the latest chapter.
Yep. And what's neat about this kind of format, Sally, as I was thinking through this as I was doing the writing for this chapter, is listener feedback to our content would be much, much appreciated, because now we can go back in based on that feedback and improve the book. So it's more of a collaborative book with all of our listeners participating. If you've got some ideas, some good thoughts that we didn't pick up on, or you think you're a little off, like we're a little off someplace or another, let us know that. I would love to improve this through this crowdsourcing exercise. So don't be shy about chiming in on your thoughts after you've read a chapter or listened to the podcast and say, well, you didn't talk about this or that. So let us know those things.
Absolutely. One more component I want to bring out is that we're developing sample websites to demonstrate the concepts. So here's an example. We have a church website that we built on the WordPress platform just to demonstrate some of the different things that you can do with your website. And we're building on that each week as well. So this week we're focusing on events and announcements, and we've added a new area on the sample site to showcase the news of this particular congregation, the Wells Tech Church, dorky name, but you get that it's a sample.
Get the idea. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Martin, you were gracious enough to write about news and announcements. We did some brainstorming together, and maybe you can tell us some of the things that belong in that category.
Well, I think I started the chapter talking about the attention span that we're all having to deal with at this point with our web visitors. So I think we've all read a lot and maybe experienced it ourselves that our attention spans are shorter and shorter. It seems like our lives are busier and busier, so we need things in sound bites. We need smaller chunks of information. It needs to be relevant. It needs to be interesting and, in some cases, entertaining for us to pay attention to it. So that's the reality of the webmaster or web, the person in charge of the web properties for your organization today. You've got to attract, not only just attract them, but once they're there, provide information that fits into how they want to, so to speak, consume content. So there's lots of ways to do that, but none of them are real easy. So I think the main part of the chapter for this week is trying to figure out how to get that information and then how to make it bite-sized so that your readers will read it or listen or watch it.
And, you know, you say none of them are real easy, and none of them are like the way we're used to doing things either. Right. I don't know about you, Martin, or how long it's been in your congregation that you've had a print newsletter that comes out on a monthly basis. Here in Sleepy Eye, we still have that. And mm-hmm. there's a group of ladies that get together once a month to assemble the newsletter, you know, faithfully. And it, you know, in busy times of the year can turn into, I don't know, maybe 20 pages copied double-sided on 10 sheets of paper that we mail out to everyone in the congregation. And I think what we're seeing is the demise of that kind of a print, once-a-month, heavy-duty newsletter, and more of a feed it to them on a regular basis in small chunks kind of communication. Yep.
In fact, I posit a little bit in, you know, this chapter of the book saying, you know, is the newsletter dead? And while I don't think it's dead in most congregations, I think it's going to be needs to transform itself pretty radically to stay relevant. People aren't just sitting down with newspapers anymore. Also, we don't need to in a digital world, as most of your members are probably, you know, on, you know, social networks, they're visiting websites, you know, whatever. You have an opportunity to feed them a constant supply of very timely information. So you don't have to wait that 30 days for that newsletter to come out and make sure you're capturing all the relevant news and announcements for the following month when you're trying to prep that newsletter that needs time to be printed, mailed, handed out, whatever. Now through digital tools, you can look for relevant content daily. And mm-hmm. That, Sally, I guess, is the hard part, you know, where you really have to put your thinking cap on a little bit and figure out how best you're going to do that. So my first recommendation toward that approach is to develop a communications committee, a group that is dedicated to or charged with thinking through how best to communicate all of the events and the promote the good things that are going on within the church or school to the people who care or who the people you'd like to care. So that group is really kind of the almost a consulting group where they work with the youth group, they work with the board of adult discipleship, they work with the Sunday school, they work with the choir for all kinds of reasons in determining what is the best way and the best approach to communicate the news.
A different way of thinking of things and structuring things, for sure. You know, if the newsletter of old is dying or dead, this communication committee is definitely a new way of doing things and something we may need some time to get used to. What kind of people fulfill that need? Are they actually the worker bees, or are they the instigators to make all the work happen? You know, you have to take some time and work through those issues and get a good fit for that committee. But I think that's definitely the way to go. I remember having Carissa Nelson on the podcast not long ago. We'll
she
have
basically
to include
said
a link.
That same thing.
Yeah, that's what they were doing in their congregation. And it sounded like it was working really well for them. They had some talented individuals that were bringing a lot of different strengths into the committee. And it was making communication flow well in their congregation. I'll throw a link to that up in the show notes when I type them up, for sure.
So another challenge then that a congregation or school needs to deal with is, where do you find the news? you know as well as I, Sally, that the people who have the news don't always think to tell the person putting the newsletter together or really anybody else that could help them communicate that or promote it. They're so busy with the activity or with the event itself that, hey, getting the word out or even capturing the event as it's happening for future promotional purposes is kind of bottom of the list. So one of my suggestions is designate or make sure that you're thinking or that certain people within, you know, your organization are thinking like a newspaper reporter. So they put their newspaper reporter hat on and they're constantly, you know, overturning stones and looking underneath rocks and asking people questions. And, you know, they're just in search of a good story. And so they go into church on Sunday morning and they're looking through the bulletin. They're talking to different people. They're attending events and they're thinking, is this newsworthy? Is this something that somebody else wants to know about? And then they ask the right questions and then they work with this communications committee to get the word out.
Yeah, I'll give you some encouragement in this regard because I think a little bit more like a news reporter these days as we have been doing the podcast for so long. And, you know, sometimes people are surprised when I approach them. Would you consider being on the podcast? Would you share what you're doing? Because I think a lot of times people think it's not significant enough. You know, who, me? You know, you don't want to report on what I'm doing. It's just small. But within your congregation, those small little stories can really feed your website and keep people engaged with what's going on in the congregation. Yeah.
What we've also found is that's a good way to build your audience too. So as you're involving their story and writing their story and promoting their stuff, they're going to tune in to see what you said and see how it's played and see the results of that. So now you have another person reading your communications and then it grows too. So you're building your audience through adding them into the process.
They often share it with their friends as well.
That's right. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing is kind of related, and that is make sure that somebody is kind of the official photographer or videographer so that it's somebody's responsibility to capture the event because that's all useful stuff in promoting it or promoting it in the future. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously somebody that maybe is comfortable doing that, somebody that has the official charge to say, hey, you take some pictures. And take good pictures. You know, there are certainly people within our churches and schools who have this capability. Tap them, say, hey, you're assigned to do this. So lots of opportunity there for service, but really important stuff because too many events go by where you don't have anything captured about it. And when you're writing this story, when you're thinking like a reporter, one of the most important parts about a story is the visuals. So what did it look like? Who was there? Those kinds of things.
Yeah, I'm just full of examples today, Martin, but I'm thinking of one that just happened in our congregation this summer, and that is that we got a new sprinkler system in our very old school building. This was a big deal for us to finally bite the bullet and get this sprinkler system installed, and it required quite a mess. They started as soon as school was done. And I was able to go over in the evenings when the work crew was gone and walk through and take photos. And everybody was so excited to see the progress, you know, and you think, what a dumb thing to take photos of this right. messy work. But this was a really big deal for our congregation and just happened to think to take some pictures of it and share them. I put out a newsletter and put them on our website and linked to them. And people really appreciated that. So I think, yep. you know, little things, and they definitely are interested in that communication.
Yep. And I totally agree. That's a great example. Sometimes it's just the dumb things, but people are involved with those things and they take pride in that. And it's great that you give them recognition too. Mm-hmm. I think, Sally, the last thing that I don't have the book in front of me, but I think the last thing I referenced was thinking time. You know, especially for events. So when it comes to promoting, communicating, getting the word out, that needs to be up front because it makes a difference in how you proceed with, you know, organizing the event and who you get involved, even down to what you name the event. If a member of that communications committee is sitting on the group, you know, sitting on the board that's maybe building the event, they may have some input into how you name this thing so that it's more easily promoted, more memorable, Maybe the name itself has some appeal. So those kinds of things, you need time to think through that. And it's kind of like a fine wine cellar that needs to ferment a little bit. The sooner you begin thinking about the event and planning it, the more time it can develop over time. And it gets better with each successive time you think or meet on it. So don't just kind of throw it together at the last minute and expect good things to happen as far as, you know, people attending it or people getting excited about it. You need to kind of let that build over time. Any good ideas kind of filter in over time. That first brainstorming meeting, you may not have all the ideas that you're going to have once you think about it, you know, time over time.
Absolutely. So, Martin, you did us all a great service because you gave us a big, long list in the book of types of things that might be of interest for news items. So I'm just going to run through that.
Sure.
Upcoming sermon series, Bible classes, school registration, VBS, Internet Safety Night, Friendship Sunday, new members, awards, concerts, elections, sporting events, new births and baptisms. Remember to think like a reporter, and the story will get them engaged in your communication. I love that list. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, and that's obviously a very, very short list. Every congregation
so much.
Is going to have just a ton of stuff. So if you're thinking like a reporter, you go in every day and there's a new story there someplace. So so there
good
should
stuff.
Be no shortage of that. It's just a matter of getting it into a usable form.
Yep.
So like I said, if our listeners or viewers have ideas that they would like to add that maybe we didn't cover, we'd love to hear that. So go to wellstech.wells.net and look at all the choices there for communicating with us. You can leave us a voicemail, send us an email. Social networks, we're in all the major ones. Lots of opportunity to do that. Please, 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 please do that. Sally, picks of the week.
I have a pick today. You know, sometimes it can be challenging to come up with a pick every week, and I do my best to come up with things that I actually use, and this one was an easy choice for me because this summer I've been using a new backpack that we purchased specifically for taking our digital camera along. It's done by LowPro, and it's called the Photo Hatchback series. They have two different sizes, basically. We have the smaller of the two, which has been really adequate for us. It's got a great design. It's well padded. It has an area here in the front that's about half of the height of the backpack that allows you to store your own personal items and things. There's even an area that's perfect for sliding an iPad into. So that's just what I did. I didn't realize till I looked at their website that they designed it for that, but it fit my iPad just perfect. But the real secret compartment is in the back. And one thing I like about the fact that you access it in the back is that it's secure. So it's up against your back when you're carrying the backpack. It would be hard to let it slip or to have someone steal your camera or whatever.
Or even bang into something. Yeah,
exactly. And it's very well padded. So it's in the back lower portion of the backpack, and it's designed specifically to hold the camera. It comes with some Velcro configurable sides, so you can kind of make it fit whatever particular equipment you want to store in that area. And actually that whole area will even completely pop out of the back of the backpack, so you can use it for storage of other things if you want to switch to just more of a traditional backpack or take the camera separately for whatever reason. Excellent quality. Plenty of room for all the different things you might want to carry along. They have a choice of colors. I actually have the gray one that's shown here. It even has a built-in cover that rainproofs the backpack. Yep. So if you want to pull that out and cover it. We bought this when my husband was taking a trip to Israel, and we knew he'd be doing a lot of trekking around a lot of different sites. And he was really glad for the rain cover because it rained practically the whole time he was there. So that's a nice feature as well. Price-wise, you know, I didn't look it up. I think we paid, it does say from $89.99. I want to say we paid about $90 for ours. We found it at Best Buy, but you can certainly order it online as well. And ours is the smaller version. I think the larger version is around $129. But I'm really impressed with the quality. I carried it along with me to Google Summit and also to the LWMS convention last week. And it's lightweight, but very well padded. And I felt like my camera was really protected. So highly recommend the LowPro backpack.
Very nice. LowPro makes some good products. Mm-hmm. I've used their stuff in the past. So, Sally, I'm going to stick with the the photography theme, and that's very appropriate to our chapter this week, as we talked about, you know, assigning that official photographer or videographer. Mine's a little more expensive, and it's a little bit more for the and not the professional, but the the amateur who wants to kind of amp up their photography skills. And usually when you're taking photography of, you know, different subjects, it's usually nice to have a tripod. And on that tripod, you usually want a head, what they call a head, that attaches to it that gives you some flexibility. So my recommendation is a head that I use, and it's from Manfrotto, which is another big name in photography. It's the 410 Junior Geared Head. So I was put onto this. I took that summer workshop up in Door County last year, and they recommended this geared head highly. So what a geared head does is it rotates on three axes, so you can do micro and macro adjustments in three different directions. So it'll pan, tilt, zoom, or not, you know, pan and tilt, and then it can go up and down. So you've got a lot of different options. So you have really good control. It steadies the camera, and especially if you're doing videography, if you're using some of these cameras, these DSLR cameras for video, you know that you have to be really still to get a good non-shaky video. So if you're doing any videography, this is a great tripod head for that, because you can make these micro adjustments very subtly, very slowly, and it just kind of sticks in place. This is really heavy, so it's really stable as well. So it's not something that you're going to trek all around with, but it's good to put on your tripod if you use one, attach your camera, your either still or video camera, and really is a good addition to the bag. It costs $260, so that's not cheap, although when you compare it to other geared heads, this is actually on the lower end. So it's actually a pretty good deal. So if you're interested in doing a lot of shooting, whether that be through camera stills for your church or school, or through, you know, the video camera, this is one of the better geared heads to consider. So, Sally, you ever use a tripod?
We do have a tripod. No, I don't use it like I should. And I'm laughing because I guess maybe you've seen some of my video, because boy, do I take shaky videos. I mean, they're really great, high quality videos, but and it never fails that as soon as I start taking a video, I think, oh, I should be zoomed in a little more. And it's not like pushing a button. You got to turn the lens, and and boy, things go downhill from there. So having a tripod would be a great idea.
There are certainly cheaper ones, but if you want the adjustments that come with this, this is probably the best way to go with a geared head. You can have these other ones that have a little knob that you adjust, and they're ball heads so that you can kind of move them all around. But I found those to be really hard to use, and I replaced mine with this. So finally, I just bit the bullet and said, hey, I'm tired of fooling with that. So.
You'll have to share some of your great photography with us, Martin.
I will try and do that.
All right.
So let's move on to, we got a promo section, Sally. What do we want to share with people that they need to pay attention to?
All kinds of exciting things coming up. One of which is the fact that we're on episode 297 of Wells Tech, and that means that episode 300 is right around the corner. We'd love to have you join us for that episode. It's going to be recorded at a special time. We think we're going to start around 5 p.m. on July 30th, live from Synod Convention. So if you're in the New Ulm area or attending Synod Convention, we'd welcome a studio audience.
Absolutely.
At our 300th episode, we've lined up some great convention delegates to join us and be interviewed, including Peter Isles, Missionary Mike Hartman, Harvey Dunn, and Pastor Mark Gabb, who does the Daily Bread e-news. So I'm looking forward to talking to all of them on our 300th episode. And who knows, there may be other surprises in store.
Party hats and blowhorns. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of noisemakers for a video podcast.
300 episodes. That's a long time.
Who would have thunk it?
So
I certainly have learned a lot in the process. So.
Help us celebrate episode 300 from beautiful New Ulm, Minnesota. Yep. Just down the road from one of these
beautiful
hosts.
Yes. Sleepy Eye, Minnesota. There you go. Wells Tech Camp is also coming up. I see in just 66 days, we're going to be at Martin Luther College yet again for Wells Tech Camp. That's a day-long unconference that we're planning to get together with you, who are our faithful viewers and listeners who have all the great ideas that we share here on the podcast. We'd like to just get together and talk about it. Figure out new ways and share ideas for implementing technology to assist with gospel ministry. And that can be for church, school, or personal ministry. We think we're going to have the opportunity to talk about all those different areas. So the exciting thing about this conference is it's completely free. And so you want to join us and enjoy lunch in the Martin Luther College cafeteria. They put together great meals there, and that's included with the day. And you especially want to join us because at the end of the day, we're going to be giving away a couple of really awesome giveaway items. Our donors have donated a Mimeo Teach Bar, which is basically a way to turn your flat, non-interactive whiteboard into an interactive whiteboard via the use of technology without installing anything except their Teach Bar. There's going to be a demonstrator on site, and we're going to have one set up at Martin Luther College so you can try it out. And at the end of the day, lucky person's going to walk away with a Mimeo Teach Bar. I think they're valued at like $800.
Wow, so that is sweet.
Really nice. Exciting. The other thing that we're giving away is a 16 gig iPad. Our friends at Final Web donated that for our Wells Tech Camp participants. I told my boys the other day, guys, I'm getting a new iPad. And they were like, no way. You know, they couldn't believe that. But it's coming in the mail to my house to say, forget away at Wells Tech Camp.
So you better hide that or it'll be
a period of time. Yes. Yeah, it'll be in my possession. I'm not breaking the seal on the box, though. So it'll go to someone at Wells Tech Camp, and that means you guys need to be there to take home that iPad potentially. So check out the website. It's wellstechcamp.wikispaces.com, and we are looking forward to meeting you there that day.
Absolutely. Sally, we should move on to community feedback.
It's about that time. The first thing I wanted to talk about was some activity over on the Wells Tech listserv. For those of you that aren't familiar with the listserv, that's a way to email a group of people interested in technology and ministry who have signed up. And when you send an email to the listserv, then it goes to everyone that's on that registration list. I think it's over 600 people that are involved in the Wells Tech listserv.
And active. It's a great place to get technology questions asked and to provide answers.
Exactly. And this week's question is the perfect example. Norbert Langbecker, who is at Mount Calvary in Flagstaff, Arizona, asked a question about recording audio of the pastor's sermon. And he's described a little bit about his setup. He has a soundboard in place. He's using a laptop already to do projection in the service of PowerPoint slides, and he wondered about the best way to record audio. His experience was that he was getting some crackliness and distortion in the test that he had run so far. And our friend Josh Shanick, who teaches over at Kettle Moraine Lutheran and is also a member at Morningstar in Jackson, responded with an amazing, wonderful response. I just love our tech community. Told him all about what might be going on and causing the distortion as recordings and where to look for control panel type settings to control that, and even some device recommendations and links to potentially buy different
cables.
Wiring and cables, USB based cables and things like that. So thanks, Josh, for chiming in on that. And thanks to the listserv community in general, because they're always there to answer questions.
Awesome. And a link to that listserv is available on the Wells Tech site. So just take a look at the top right.
All right.
On to DGO.
The next group of links are from DGO. DGO is where we can share websites that we've tagged. And this one is kind of personal. It's from my friend Tom Rosenau, who is serving as principal in Pigeon, Michigan at St. John's there. And he found an article about a lawn bananagrams game. Okay, so if you aren't familiar with Bananagrams, it's kind of like Scrabble. So you spell out words in different directions, and someone took the made the effort to build large size Bananagram tiles, and they played it out in the yard, which is just hilarious. And obviously, Tom and I have shared games of Bananagrams before, so that's why he thought of me and thought I would enjoy this. But he wrote, you know, what a fun activity for the first day of school or for a school fun day or something like that. So, I mean, I think you could even come up with some ministry applications here and play Bananagrams with your class. Thanks, Tom, for that link.
Cool.
Next were a few links that I tagged on Digo, starting with ScreenLeap. This was discussed at the conference, the Google conference, I believe, and it's way to share your screen instantly to any device with any browser. No downloads, installs, or signups needed to view your screen. So if I were doing a presentation and we were potentially on the phone together or over Skype or Google Hangouts or whatever, this would be one way that I could share my screen and you guys could see it at the same time. I like these kind of solutions for tech support. But there's lots of ways you can use these kind of solutions.
Cool.
Next up, I tagged an article from my friends at TechSmith. I read this on their blog, and it's 5 tips for making a high-quality video for your website.
Cool. Very appropriate for a topic today.
Very quick read, too. It says, keep it short. Attention spans are not what they once were.
Well,
they started just like
before.
You.
Yeah.
Yep. Generate your content before shooting. They actually say to actually script what you want to say. And for someone who does training videos, I can tell you that's really valuable. Otherwise, you say the wrong thing. Create goals beforehand. So think about what you want your audience to walk away with and make sure you answer those things during your video. Ensure adequate lighting. That's a challenge for us, Martin. Always, we're trying to be sensitive to lighting in video situations. And then use the right hardware. Make sure you're using a HD camera. So 5 quick tips for you to improve your videos. And then finally, I did tag on Digo an article about the new iOS 7 that's coming out this fall, and the improvements in particular for education. Things like managing licenses and managing devices are just going to be major breakthroughs. So
yeah,
if you are
they needed work. Yeah, that was one of the biggest barriers to getting iPads in schools, is just the management of them.
So if you're in that position that you're considering iPads or using iPads in the classroom, this is going to be a big breakthrough for you. And interestingly, after I tagged this, you might remember, Martin, that our friend Jason Schmidt, who's on the podcast quite often with us, has started a community on Google Plus called Wells Google Schools. And I tagged that article, and then I saw an article or a post from Marin McPeak, who's also in that community, who was excited about iWorks and its ability to be used on the Chromebook.
Oh, really?
So apparently, in conjunction with iOS 7 being updated, iWorks is being updated as well, and it's in beta right now. I think I have a link to this. But iWorks is coming to the cloud. And so basically, you would be able to do it on a Mac, on a PC, on a Chromebook. And that would be access to Pages, Numbers, and Keynote, the word processing spreadsheet and presentation software that works currently on iPads and iPhones.
Sure.
It's going to be expanded. So
awesome. That's
exciting
great.
News.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just a couple of more for you guys. Actually, just one more. I wanted to zero in on another post I read in Jason's Google Schools community, and it was from Mike Marquardt, and he was asking about teaching typing. And in the past, he's used Typing Club, which is a pretty well-used app on the Chromebook. It's the go-to app for typing, or at least it has been, but they're going to begin charging for it in the new school year. So it's been free up to now. A lot of people have latched onto it, and he was looking for other options from that. And so two were mentioned. One is typingweb.com, so just a web-based typing tutor, and you just save that link as an app on the Chromebook. The other is an actual extension, Typing Foo, which has a Chrome app as well, or extension.
Right.
And so those are two options for typing, particularly if you're on a Chromebook and looking for an alternative to the typing software, and now I forget the name of it, Typing Club, that a lot of people have been using on the Chromebook.
Looks like Typefoo even has a Mac app there if you're, if you had Macs in your school. So.
Awesome. Okay, I think I'm done with community feedback for this week.
All right, Sally, next week we're continuing with, I don't know what chapter we on, 3, 4, 5, something, somewhere in there, chapter 5, I think. Live streaming video. So what, and again, we're focusing on content. So what is it you want to live stream? And that'll be an interesting conversation as well, because everybody's really wanting to get into that. But obviously there are some considerations. So tune in next week for our next chapter in our book, and this will be on live streaming video. Sally, I think we've done enough here today. Probably time to turn it over to our artist of the day, Ben-Hur Kamrang, his song, Our Creed. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Whoa. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. This is my creed, this is our creed, this I believe, this we believe. This is my creed, this is our creed, this I believe, this we believe. This is my creed, this is our creed, this I believe, this we believe. This is my creed, this is our creed. This I believe, this we believe.